I have to wait to press record. You know that Kiddushin is not chal unless the photographer tells you to do the Maisa Kiddushin. I'd like to give a tremendous hakaras hatov as Rav Ilan told you. We have not met until this afternoon at Heathrow Airport. So for somebody to extend themselves so much to put out the publicity and to arrange everything, having not met a person, it's quite an undertaking, it's quite an ordeal, and I'm greatly appreciative. The truth is that a chaver, chavrusa of Rav Ilan, really was the instigator about 18 months ago, who put the, in Eretz Yisrael we like to say, the juke in the head, that maybe we should put together a group of people to have to listen to what I have to say, and so on. But he made me promise him that I wouldn't mention his name. So I'd just like to give hataras hatov to the person whose name doesn't want to be mentioned. He can be found in the brochures and other places. But I told him I wouldn't mention his name, but he really pushed Rav Ilan to bring me out and to speak with you this evening. Requires hataras hatov. To my balachsanya, Mr. John Simmons, and most recently, yes, Mark, you're going to have to get mentioned, what can I tell you? To Mark Nerden, who's taken involvement also in being mefarsim and helping us try to establish that we'll maybe have some kemach for the Torah as well throughout the UK, and I'm greatly appreciative. I was just sharing with my mentor, Rabbi Tatz, who I had the pleasure to learn Torah from 17 and 18 years ago in Eretz Yisrael when I was a young married kollel person, that I believe that he did the second biggest favor that a Talmud Chacham had done for me, and that was the shidduch that he created by introducing me to our Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, to listen to his shiurim, and to grow tremendously in the Olam HaMachshava. That was the second greatest favor that was ever done to me, chinuch-wise, I would say. I'd like to share with you this evening the greatest favor that was ever done with me, chinuch-wise, and it started from a small white lie that I told when I was 8 years old. I had the pleasure of moving to Muncie, New York when I was 8 years old, and my parents sent me to the cheder that was then run by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Livracha. Now, on the first day that I went to the cheder, I was in grade 5, my mother didn't know that the yeshiva after Shacharis didn't serve any sort of breakfast, so she sent me without breakfast. When I was walking around with the pushka during Uvolat Zion, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who davened in the minyan, asked me if I had breakfast. On day number one, it was the truth when I said I did not have breakfast. He invited me for breakfast. I was 8 years old. I didn't realize that when the Godel Hador invites you for breakfast, you don't say yes. You figure out. So I said yes, and I went. And of course, in Rebecca Kamenetsky's house, they didn't make me eat, you know, bran flakes. I'm the oldest of 6 children. I always tell my mother that when I was a child, we didn't have any sweets or any candy. When my youngest sister was the 6th child, I came home and she was growing up. They could eat whatever they want. I guess parents give up at a certain point, you know, trying to raise their kids, and they just let, as long as the kids are happy, they don't bug them. That's good enough. So I had cookies. I said, this is a great deal. I went home that night, and I told my mother that the yeshiva serves breakfast. It's one white lie that I told, and it worked for the next 4 years. For 4 years, I was zoicha that every single morning I was able to go home with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't know what he thought about my parents in retrospect. But for 4 years, I was able to go home with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and be fahared and inculcated in terms of derech halimud and priorities in terms of limud Torah. And most of what I'm going to share with you tonight is, I haven't quite been oymed al das rabbi, it's been only 32 years, it hasn't been 40 years yet, but I'm going to try to share a little bit of what I managed to glean in those 4 years of my wonderful relationship with Rabbi Yaakov, the school that he ran. And it was a very, very unique derech halimud. We learned all of Chumash. We learned a lot of Nevi'im. We learned Mishnayos. We didn't open up a Gemara until we were near Bar Mitzvah. Every Gemara that we learned, we chazered and we knew and so on. And when I went on to Yeshiva Ketana, Rabbi Yaakov said, be makabel upon yourself that you'll never learn something that you don't intend to remember. This does not mean that I have a great memory. There are a lot of people who claim that I have a photographic memory, that I have a genius memory, and so on and so forth. Since it was put on the sign, and it was not with my haskama, I asked Rav Ilan that I need souvenir from London. So my kids think I'm bringing back Chveis chocolate. You know, my wife thinks I'm going to buy something in the airport for her, some kind of perfume. I'm going away. I travel a lot. But I realized for my mother, I just need a copy of the flyer. Because she's the only one that will actually believe everything that it says on it. So I'm going to bring her back one of those as a souvenir. But since it was printed on the flyer, I have had a very, very, very rigid Seder Chazaras that started from before my Bar Mitzvah. And I'll just share with Toelis that for those of you who think that I'm a genius or have a photographic memory and I don't have to Chazar, I recently made my 400th Chazara of Shisha Seder Mishnah. Do the math. I've been doing it every month for a very, very long time. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't. I'm not such a tzaddik. And therefore, there is no secret. That's the one word in the advertisement that's not true. I'm not going to share with you a secret. I'm simply going to share with you a little bit of life experience and some good advice, how it is that from this day forward you can make a Kabbalah to know that which you are learning. And Baruch Hashem, in all my time in the yeshiva and all my exposure to various Talmidei Chachamim, I was mekabel upon this for myself. I made sure that I knew what I had learned to the extent that I was able to, and then put it into a cycle of chazaros that I would master. It's a very diverse age group, and I'm sure, to an extent, a very diverse background. And therefore, there are Talmidei Yeshiva over here, there are Balabatim, and there are people that are a little bit older as well. I'm going to try to distill this to the core points, as if tomorrow was the first day of the rest of your life, which it is, tonight already is, and that Mikanu Lahabo, at least, we can try to at least contemplate making certain Kabbalos upon ourselves. The first Chiddush that I'm going to tell you, and it's a big Chiddush, because anybody who went to yeshiva has experienced that this is not so. The first Chiddush that I'm going to try to tell you is that 99 out of 100 Yidden that I have met who claim at various times of their lives to have done Chazara, whether that's at the end of a Zman, at the end of a Masechta, have never in their life experienced Chazara. You heard that? Never in their life experienced Chazara. And the reason is, it is a simple scientific fact that you cannot review what you do not know. You can relearn what you've forgotten. You may even be able to relearn it with a vague familiarity, but you cannot review what you do not know. Now let's take that to the extreme experience. And please, Rabbi Yisai, I am telling you this, L'Toyelis, it's very, very important that you listen to the point of what I'm trying to say. I'm not getting up here to debate Derech HaLimur or to discuss whether yeshiva should learn a certain way or another way. That is not my point. I want to talk about our experience in yeshiva as B'nai Torah, as people that had the sign that if a person is Pesach Piv Mitalmud Torah, Ma'achilu Noisei Gachlei Rasamim, and it worked for a whole Zman. It worked that a person spent an entire Zman never uttering one word of Dvarim B'Talem. He had a fabulous morning Seder. He learned with this from Kavrusa from 9 to 1, and they didn't battle, they didn't stop learning for 1 minute. It was the greatest feeling that he had when lunch came or when Shir came at 1 o'clock. It was a great experience. But ask yourself the following question. If I would come to you at the end of that amazing morning Seder, and I would tap you on the shoulder and I would tell you at 1 o'clock, can you please tell me in your words what you just learned for the last 4 hours? You would be amazed how almost impossible it is for anyone who experiences a wonderful Seder of learning to be able to restate it. We spend so much time in what I like to call process. We start with the Gemara. We learn a Rashi. We learn a Tosis. We learn a Masha. We learn a Machlokes, the Ksais, and the Nesivos on a certain point. We are so penetrating in our process in terms of the depth, and each thing that we uncover uncovers different directions and so on. I'm not talking about getting closure. I don't mean that at the end of your morning Seder it has to be a nicely neat packed thing that you could put in your pocket and say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I know this sugya, there's nothing more to learn about this sugya. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able at 1 o'clock to say that I've made a king and I've acquired that which I just processed and learnt. Let's take two different people. One person learnt a wonderful morning Seder until 1 o'clock, until the bell rang, and at 1 o'clock he had learnt a tremendously difficult sugya with great depth. A great feeling of satisfaction in terms of his analysis, but really at 1 o'clock at lunch can't really tell you perhaps even who held what in the Gemara. But if you start him a conversation about one of the tangential points, he'll certainly fight with you. Or he's the guy who will tell you, give me a svara, I'll slug it up. Another person learned from 9 to 12:15. And at 12:15, he told himself, Ad kan, until here. This is how much, if you will, vertical penetration of the sugya I'm going to do. And from this point forward, I am going to summarize. I'm going to review everything that I just learned. I'm going to review it 4 or 5 times. I may have reached a point in which it's Sarachian, in which I don't have clarity. It may be that I'm only up to a question. I don't have an answer yet. But by 1 o'clock, I can tell you everything that I have just learned this entire morning in my own words with clarity. I can tell you what I learned in the Gemara, who said what Rashi Shita was, what Tosafot Shita was, and so on and so forth. The second person has at least the theoretical ability to review what he learned. The first person can't possibly review what he learned because he doesn't know what he learned. I'm not in Bezen Shamal, I'm not telling you who has Schar for Talmud Torah, that's not what I'm up here to discuss. But the first person's experience does not allow for review because he doesn't know. Sure, the Rosh Hashiva may go fundraising at the end of the Zman, and they'll give a clap on the beamer and they'll say there's now 3 weeks of Chazara. What he will experience is what we've all experienced in Chazara, which is he'll open up the Gemara, and he'll start again, and he'll have tremendous frustration. The frustration that comes from knowing that once upon a time I knew this so much better, only to turn a page of the Gemara and find a loose leaf sheet of paper in his own handwriting fall out. And he realizes, ah, Zeksav Yadi, this is something that I wrote. And he realizes that it's the Chabura that he gave 4 months ago after investing 30 hours in preparing it, and he barely remembers even the topic that he had given in the Chabura. Rabbi said, we're all familiar with that experience. And therefore, the first point that I'm trying to make is that we have rarely, if ever, experienced Chazara the way Chazal intended Chazara. The Ribbono Shel Olam, David HaMelech, has made HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eidus on the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's testimony, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim, Misam Chelev, that the study of Torah is Misameach a person, so much so as we know the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that on Tisha B'Av it's forbidden for Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, for children to study Torah on Tisha B'Av, because we refrain, we take that Simcha away from the children on Tisha B'Av. How many of our children, when we tell them when Tisha B'Av is anyway in the summer months when there's no school, that there's not going to be Talmud Torah today, do they cry in woe of the lack of simcha, of the joy that was taken away from? In one of the unedited parts of the video that you saw, an older person, an elderly gentleman testified, he said, you know something, the first year on this Tisha B'Av, when I wasn't able to do my daily Chazara, I felt what Chazal meant, that Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Amasam Chelev, and that Simcha was taken away from me because I couldn't review. So number one, we're going to talk about knowing what you learn. And this, although it could be applied to Limud Iyun as I briefly described, I'm here to describe the programs that I offer, but it could be applied, we can talk about it at a different time, it could be applied in every Limud that a person has, no matter how great depth. The second step, of course, is to then experience that immediate review. Chazal tell us in Maseches Eivah and Daf Nun Daled that when we learn Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a much better instructor and a much better educator than I, that you needed to hear it 4 times in order to be able to understand it, which means that the first 4 times that somebody reviews something, they're in fact not even reviewing. They're simply, if you will, creating initial mastery of a topic. I now not only know it, but I now know it. And that takes an immediate process of review. I'll just interject for 1 second and tell you that the difference between what you're going to hear tonight and every other, I can't say every, I don't know all of them, but I've certainly looked at many other Chazara programs that exist. In all Chazara programs that exist, if you want to pick yourself a frame, a cycle, and do it the next day, the next week, the next month, and so on, the problem is never in the cycle of the Chazara. The problem in those programs always is in the first 2 steps. Either I didn't know it when I finished the shiur today, I may have heard a shiur, but didn't know it, and therefore what I'm doing tomorrow or the next week is not really review, it's refamiliarity. Or I didn't review it enough times the first day so that I am not retaining the mastery as a product of the Chazara. Because what Chazal want for us in our Chazara is to feel appreciably that as we continue to do the Chazara, our depth, our mastery, our power of association is growing and getting deeper and deeper and deeper. That when a person is shown a Mishnaso, when a person does his review of 101st time, it's not like the 100th time. He can sense the appreciation. As he begins to move forward in his learning in one area, He feels that the chazara that he's doing in the other areas that he has learned is giving him a breadth, a greater scope of everything that he has once seen. I'll briefly describe what I do in the programs, and I'll let you know two disclaimers. The first disclaimer is that Master Torah is a bidyevid for adults. Master Torah is a product, you even saw a small clip of it in the video, of people who came to me who were roughly on average between 35 and 40 years old, and said to me, Rabbi, at the time I was giving Machshava Shiurim, I had various positions in Yerushalayim, they said, Rabbi, we don't know anything. We're good from Jews. We're serious about our Talmud Torah. We're Koveya Itim with Torah. But we don't know anything. Shortly thereafter, about 5 years ago, I opened up a very unique kollel in Yerushalayim. And in order to get into this kollel, you had to have been learning 10 years full-time post-high school. So it was people who were at least 28, 29 years old. Many of them had been Rashi Chabura in their previous institutions. And I decided I was going to make a very unique entrance exam to my kollel. Typically, when you go to a kollel in Eretz Yisrael, certainly this is the case, you prepare shtickel Torah to impress the Rosh Kollel or the administrator with what a great lamdan you are. That's the typical way it works in yeshivas and kollelim. So everybody came prepared with their shtickel Torah. I said, I'm not going to interview you separately. There were about 20 people that came to apply. I said, please come sit in the conference room. I handed out 20 pieces of white blank paper and 20 pens. And I said to them, please fill out on this piece of paper all of the areas of Torah that you are prepared for me to test you on right now. Chumash, Chumash with Rashi, Chumash without Rashi, Ramban, only the Rashi on all the Sfarim except Vayikra, Mishnayos, what you learned last week, the Masechta from last year. If you take a moment to think for yourselves what you'd be willing to put on that blank piece of paper, it's astounding. It's really astounding. Again, I am not debating the process of learning how to learn and how important that is. That's not what I'm talking about. But imagine in any other discipline, I always like to use the analogy of playing piano. Imagine you take a five-year-old child and you bring them to the piano teacher. And most of us now in yeshiva, imagine the kid is going to be there at least 15 years in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly the average is 20 years at least from age 5 to at least age 25 on average. And you're going to be paying, because here you pay tuition in Eretz Yisrael, not so much, but you pay tuition, and you're going to be paying tuition of whatever it is, 5,000 pounds, 6,000 pounds, 7,000 pounds a year to the piano instructor for the next 20 years. So you're going to be investing 100 plus 1,000 pounds in the instruction of piano to your child for the next 20 years. What kind of return do you expect in terms of the knowledge of various songs? I mean, let's say in 20 years from now, they come back and they tell you, listen, I know the color of music, I know the theory of music, but I really can only play scales, and I couldn't even play Hava Nagila at the Amit Women's Gathering. Would you feel that that was a successful investment of the time? And that would be an hour a couple of times a week. Somehow we've conditioned ourselves that when it comes to Talmud Torah, and there is an Isser D'Oraisa against forgetting that which you learned. There's an Isser D'Oraisa. Chazal tell us that that's only if a person is Mishakeach Milubo. What does that mean that you're Mishakeach Milubo? The one thing you cannot possibly do is Mishakeach something. It's impossible to do. Right? If I tell everybody in this room, under no circumstances are you to think about a great pink elephant, every one of you has just gotten distracted and is thinking about a great pink elephant. You cannot cause yourself to forget anything. What does that mean? Chazal forbid you to hit yourself over the head with a 2x4 and cause yourself severe brain hemorrhaging so that you won't forget your Torah. That's the Isser. Clearly what Chazal means, a person who has total disregard for the chashivas of Torah and doesn't, when he starts learning, intend to master it, to retain it, to know it. So then a person is guilty of the lav in the Torah. So the first disclaimer is that Master Torah was a bidyevid for adults when I realized, and when people came to me, hey, it's late and We don't know anything. And the reason I mention that is because I see quite a few young fellows here, and many of you are in a position that you have children in the various schools, or you may yourselves be mechanchim, or in a position of leadership of those schools. I spent the last year commuting between Eretz Yisrael and Borough Park, and what I do there is we're working very avidly with about six Hasidic Shechadarim. And Hasidim agree with me a couple of things. I don't look like them, but they agree with me about a couple of things. Number one, you should cover ground. Number two, you should know it. It makes for a very easy dialogue if we don't talk about anything else. Right? Other yeshivas, sometimes we can't get to that part in the dialogue. It gets a little trickier. So the first point is that I am making a disclaimer that it's a b'dievet situation, but I have 1,600 people in shir every day, and therefore after 5 years, 5.5 years, it's justified that it's an ace lasos to bring this to the awareness and the consciousness of people. Number two, second disclaimer. I am not telling you what to learn or to listen to my shir. And there's disclaimer 2A and 2B in this. 2A. If you love learning Be'iyun, and that's how you get your seatbook, and you have 4 hours a day that you learn Be'achavrusa, and you can rekindle the experience that you had in yeshiva, and that is making you happy, and you have a seatbook from Talmud Torah, it does not matter personally whether I think that that's the best thing you should be doing with your time and your learning, but keep on doing it. If you're happy and you have a seatbook in Talmud Torah, I'm not here to debate with anyone about how they should learn. I'm here talking to the entire olam that have felt a sense of loss since the time that they were in yeshiva. Maybe they learned Daf Yomi and they've gone through a machzor of Daf Yomi already, and they realize that if I remember the names of the Masechtos, I certainly don't remember the names of the Prakim, but that's the kinyan that I have for Daf Yomi. Maybe you're a person who is about to start Daf Yomi, but your friend who's a couple years older than you did Daf Yomi, and he's like, man, it's an unbelievable commitment. You got to get up for 7.5 years at 5 o'clock in the morning, and for what? Tomorrow, if I go in, if I didn't have the blue string in the Gemara, the Magid Shir taught the same daf he taught yesterday, tomorrow, I would be amazed that I have vague familiarity from 7.5 years ago, only to realize I learned it yesterday. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's good. If you feel you have to finish Shas because it was a condition you made in the Tosefes Ketubah, there are shiurim that teach 7.5 daf in 1 year. Do that track. Do that track and spend time memorizing the names of the prakim. I think you'll have more to show for at the end of the year. Just personal advice. The second is, I'm not here to suggest listening to my shir. I'll explain why I give a shir at all. And I give about 5 shiurim a day. The reason I give a shir is to help the balance between covering ground and the efficiency of time. And that is the following. Imagine you're learning an Amud of Gemara where the Gemara brings a machloikas between Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava, once as mutter, once as also, the Gemara says the words Tashma. When you see the words Tashma, at that moment you have no idea whether this is going to be a raya to Abaye or a raya to Rava. So you have to figure it out. By the time you figure it out and you realize, wow, this is a raya that it's mutter, you forgot who said what. That's just the normal progression, the normal process. Now here I want to tell you the Chiddush of the night, and if you remember only this, you'll remember me for a long time. This is something that after many years of contemplating, I realized to be true, and it totally, totally changes the mahalach on how a person is supposed to be mekabel Torah. We can understand when Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote the Mishnayos, or when Ravino and Ravashi were Masada the Gemara, we can understand it in one of two ways. The first way we can understand it is that Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote a Mishnah that now the normative way of being mekabel Torah Shema Peh, which until Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, was from Rebbe to Talmud. There was no other way to get Torah Shema Peh. We could understand Rebbe decided to change all that, and Rebbe decided the Mishnah is now going to be the Rebbe, and we are obviating, we are taking away any necessity for a Rebbe in Torah Shema Peh. That's one way to understand it. Let me show you the byproduct of understanding it this way. Here's the way this works. In fifth grade, pardon me if I use my American examples, at 10 years old, when we begin to learn Gemara, we learn Pika Masechta, Meseches Bava Metzia, we learn Eilo Metzias. And our Rebbe tells us, I'm going to teach you how to think. 4 years later, we learn the very same Perek, the very same Masechta, and our now high school Rebbe turns around and says, I'm going to teach you how to think. The Cheder Rebbe, the fifth grade Rebbe, give me a break. There's a reason he's a Cheder Rebbe and I'm a high school Rebbe. 4 years later, we go to our nice yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and we learn the same parak and the same daf, and our Rebbe tells us there, I'm going going to teach you how to think. Your high school Rebbe, your elementary school Rebbe, come on. I'm a Yeshiva Gedolah Rebbe. 4 years later, when you're in the special kibbutz program in whatever yeshiva, you again learn the same Masechta and the same daf, and your Rebbe tells you, I'm going to teach you how to think. Yeshiva Gedolah Rebbe, your high school Rebbe, your elementary school Rebbe, there's a reason I have the shteller that I'm at. I'm going to teach you how to think. If you're still learning 4 years later, you're not going to anybody's shir, because you know what the message is? I know how to think better than all of them. I've made it. The Gemara, the Mishnah is now my Rebbe, and I have this personal relationship with Ravina and Rashi, and I know better than everybody else. The product of this is that each time that I start that perek, that Masechta, I start it as if I've never learned it before. I just have a question. It's a rhetorical question. What would have been so bad if in fifth grade I learned it? Fifth grade dick, as they say. And 4 years later, I had still known it, chazered it, and now the Rebbe taught me, I'm going to teach it to you, another level of depth. And 4 years later, I learned it with another level of depth. Why do I have to start over every single time just because the main purpose is to teach me how to think? That's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding is the way Chazal actually learned Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. There is no Mekor in Chazal whatsoever, to the best of my knowledge. There's no Mekor in Chazal that the tzura of learning Torah Shel Ba'al Peh changed as a result of writing down Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. Chazal tell us very, very clearly that the purpose in writing down Torah Shel Ba'al Peh is shelo yishakach, that Torah Shel Ba'al Peh should not be forgotten. It does not say anywhere in Chazal that there's no longer a need for a Rebbe in Kabbalah's Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. The Ribbono Shel Olam, for whatever reason, and that's not the scope of our conversation tonight, decided that in Torah Shel Ba'al Peh there should be a need of a Mesorah from a Rebbe to a Talmud, as opposed to in Torah Shel Bichsav. If that's true, then all I'm supposed to be doing with the Mishnayos and the Gemara is Chazara Kedei Shelo Yishakach, which means two things. Number one, it means that I'm supposed to still be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula from my Rebbe. Look at Ravin. Look at Ula. They're going from Eretz Yisrael. Look at Rav Dimi. They're going from Eretz Yisrael hearing Torah from Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish down to Bobo. He thought they have nothing better to do. To listen to Kol HaTorah Kula from Rabbi Shmuel back and forth to ask questions, to be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula from the Rebbe. Step number one is the Rebbe must teach it in a way where by the end of the shiur, when I look inside the Gemara, it is Shelo Yishakach. If I give a shiur and the Talmud can't see what I said inside the shiur, it's Vayter Shelo Yishakach. I taught, and tomorrow he wrote it in notes, it doesn't matter, tomorrow he'll forget it. I, the Magid Shiur, whoever the Magid Shiur is, must at least at the initial level, turn the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh, which has been written down now because of Eis Lasas Lashem Eferu Torah Secha, he must turn that into a Kli Shelo Yishakach that the Talmud will now be able to see inside what he said outside. And two, of course, I must then encourage them to use that Kli Shelo Yishakach. If I gave the Shiur and then all everybody's just interested in discussing about it and talking outside, so again, it's going to be forgotten. I give a shiur for only one reason. For people with limited time, a magid shiur, a good magid shiur, can in 30 minutes do what it will take every person on their own, every average person on their own, approximately 2 hours to do. Ask yourselves, if you have to look at a sugya from an amud that has a machloikas amiraim, or two machloikas amiraims, and has three or four rayas, and you need to navigate what the raya is, get the background information, figure out who it's a raya to, and then figure out some kind of sequence and organization in your head. How many times and how long is it going to take you before you could go back to the top of the Amud and tell yourself the following? Rava says mutar, Abaye says asur. The Gemara is going to bring three or four rayas. I have a siman for these three or four rayas that go in this following manner. The first two are going to be rayas to Rava who says mutar. The last one is going to be a rayas to Abaye who says asur. Let's go, let's read those rayas. How many times through do you need to read that Amud until you could possibly know it to begin to chazer it? So yeah, this program does work if you learn on your own also. But if you learn it on your own, instead of learning it four times, Chazara, as I'm about to discuss, you'll need to learn it about eight times. Because a Magid Shir, a good Magid Shir, can give it to you on the first time in a way that the four times that you're going to Chazar afterwards are Chazaring from that level of knowledge that we discussed. As opposed to on your own, you need to take three or four times to figure it out. Try it. Learn a daf today. Even if you understood every single word as you were translating it, if you open up the daf tomorrow, right, when you see the words Tashma, you have no idea who the Raya is coming to. It will take at least four times your own to get that clarity, and another four times to master that clarity, so that if you would sit and learn it tomorrow or in a week from now, you could review it with that degree of clarity. All I do in my shiurim are these two points. Number one, give it over in a way where at the end of the shiur, the Talmud knows that the goal of the shiur is now to be able to see inside everything that I've said outside, in stark contrast to the shiur tonight. And that is my goal of the shiur. And therefore, I have to spend much more time figuring what I'm not going to say as opposed to what I am going to say. And number two, encouraging chazara again and again and again and again inside. Let's talk about chazara inside. I spent the last year in Borough Park a lot of time, and this worked very, very well. It even works in Eretz Yisrael to an extent. It will not work as well here because you daven nusach Ashkenaz and you don't live in Eretz Yisrael for the most part. But meet a Hasidish Yid and ask him the following question. How much chelbana was there in the Keteris? Anybody? Close. How much chelbana was in the Keteris? No. How much chelbana was in the... I can wait until somebody gets the answer. I mean, you do know the answer. I would venture to say 60% of the crowd here knows this answer by heart. How much chelbana was in the Keteris? Start davening. Shivimane. Thank you very much. Now, Hasidic people say Pitam HaKeteris three times a day. I met 40 menalim who were each 50 years old or more, and I asked them this question. And the only answer that I got three answers. Answer number one I got was, I didn't go to Brisk. I like that one. What do you want for my life? Answer two I got is, it doesn't say anywhere. I said, look, even if you don't daven, it's a brisa in Maseches Krisos. And answer three I got is what I call the Sfas of Merachshas. Yeah? They realize where they should know it from, and they start davening, and usually you catch those guys because they say Shivim Shivim on it, because they're counting Tzoritzi Per and Chalbana. A 60-year-old Hasidish person has said this, if he's been davening since he's 10 or 11 years old, 50,000 times. Which just goes to prove that you can chazer something 50,000 times and not know anything. This is not against the Hasidim. They just happen to say Pitam HaKeteris more than we do. You can chazer something 50,000 times and not know anything. But let me ask you the following question. If you did say Pitam HaKeteris three times a day, and I told you that I was going to come in a week from now and test you on the 11 Samamani Keteris and their weights, how would you go about learning them? Well, if you were a teacher in school in the current educational system, what you would do is you would create what's known as matching. One column with the names of the Samamanim, one came with the numbers, and the kids would be drawing lines from A to I. And if I came in the next week and like flipped the orders or turned them around, everybody would cry foul, right, that I'm confusing them, because they never learned anything. I have a suggestion. Why don't you just pay attention while you're davening the next 21 times? You'd be amazed when you command your brain to remember something, how talented your brain is. And here's what would happen. In each chazara, you would recognize something more. I don't expect you to remember everything after the first chazara, but I'm telling you, you're going to have 21 chazaras now to master this information. You can all do it. Say Ankel Akenu every day for the next 2 weeks and see what happens. Just say Pitam HaKeteris. It's a brisa. You're allowed to say it. Just say it. Say it carefully. The first thing you'll realize is that Boris Kashina is not one of the Samamani Keteris. After all, there are only 11, and Boris Kashina is number 12. I guess that's not one of the Samamani Keteris. It ends with Kinoman. The second thing you're going to realize when you say it the second time is, hey, I don't need to memorize 11 different Samamanim. The first four have the same Mishkal, and the next four have the same Mishkal. Wow, this is so much easier than I thought it was. Then you'll realize, you know what? I know the names of the Samamanim by heart. It's just the numbers in between are confusing me. But you know what? If I think for a second, I can actually tell you all 11 Samamanim by heart. Gradually, 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 in 21 chazaras, spending no more time than you already daven, you will recall all of this. My father used to test me when I was a child. He used to read psukim from Art Scroll Siddur in English and ask me where I say them in davening. It's an amazing thing. Because it actually just got me, over the next 6 months or 9 months, to just think for a second. My Hebrew was pretty fluent, to actually think for a second about what you're saying so that you have the ability to reverse the language, Hebrew to English, that you actually pay attention. We could, if we sat down in school, translate what we're saying in davening, but perhaps we never bothered to. The trick is to demand in your chazara each time through something more in terms of structure. Everybody wants to know why I give tests every single week in my Omid Yarmi, which has 1,100 Talmidim, holding in different Masechtos, but 1,100 Talmidim. And everybody wants to know why I'm a stickler for the names of the Mada Amrim. So I tell them, you want the truthful answer, or you want the answer that's going to make you happy? I said, the truthful answer really is because I estimate approximately 30% of Shas to be involved with the names. Think about that for a second. Every time the word, the Gemara uses the word V'itema, which appears on every single Amud in Shas, pretty much, it means the Gemara is actually clamoring to try to figure out who really said this memra. Every time the Gemara says, Umi Omar, could somebody say such and such? Omar, who cares? It'll be a machloikas. There's plenty of them in Shas, right? What's the big deal? Who cares who said it? 30% of Shas are trying to establish authorship of the statements and the legacy of the authorship of the statement. In other words, if a Rebbe is disagreeing with the Talmud, if a Talmud is disagreeing, take a look how many Hagos Habach are about Rav and Rabba trying to figure out the generations about who could have been the Bar Plugta of who. Go take a look. Open up your eyes on every Amud Shas. I estimate 30% of Shas is trying to figure out the authorship of various memras or giving you multiple forms of the authorship because they obviously thought it was important for you to be able to remember. That's the truthful answer. The answer that might make you happier is you'd be amazed if you demand of yourself to remember the names how much more you're going to have to remember in the process. Because the names are the last thing that the mind is going to be collate if you're not familiar with the names. But there's a whole world of difference between reading the Gemara, Tashma the Gemara brings a raya, the case is like this is mutter and he says it's aseret, as opposed to demanding of yourself the structure from the top of the Yamud to say, hang on, there was a machloikas Rav and Abayim. The Gemara is bringing three rayas. The first two are going to be rayas to Rav, who also... The Gemara makes simonim. The Gemara tells you you have to make simonim. Make them for yourself. Simonim is simply the process of you organizing the information for your own mind. Your brain craves that cedar. The results are astounding. I have a group of Balabatim in the live shiur in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Right now there are about 30 or 40 people in the live shiur because there have been so many kolim that have opened up in the neighborhood with people that don't have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. So why bother coming to shiur at 5:30 in the morning? I also travel half the time. They only have to watch it in video. You know, the cat's away, the mice play. It's the way it works. But when we finally get to the Siyam and there are about 50 or 60 people from the community at the Siyam, just imagine this. Think about the people in your shiur in the morning, whatever shiur that is. Imagine a panel of 10 Rabbonim who have all come prepared wanting to stump the Talmidim. And 50 guys standing like this, sitting like this, staring the Rabbonim down and saying, I bet you can't. With the name of any Manda Omar in entire Masechta. I recall the Siyam on Masechta Ksubas about 4 years ago. Rabbi Elimelech Kornfeld of Ramat Beit Shemesh came in and he said to the guys, he said, and we don't chazar this way, of course. This is just a function of the Torah being so ingrained as a product of the chazara. He comes and he says, you know, they say that Ksubas is Shas Katan. So give me a din from the Masechta from Brachas, Peah, Tamai, Kilayim, Shvias. He went through all 63 Masechtas and Shas with the Chabura. You think I asked them that on a test? Oh, I do for fun. See, at the end of the Masechta, I asked them 100 questions on a test. Close Gemara, of course. They have to know the names or they lose half credit. The first 75 are what I would call fair questions. The last 25, I have fun. Like, in Maseches Ksubas, Rabbi Yaakov Min HaHarpkoit says 3 dinim. What are the 3 dinim? Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmeni Amar Rabbi Yonasan says 8 things. Give me 5. I'm very merciful with them on the test. Lulei Sayrascha Sha'ashuai. The Chazara becomes ingrained in a person. There is a tremendous Ava. It's an addiction. It's a healthy addiction. It's an addiction to the Torah, which of course is an addiction to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Rambam describes. That's what you have to demand of yourself in terms of Avas Hashem. Every person's family members will be made on the transformation of a person whose life, the ikkar of his life, in 2 hours a day, is addicted to Torah. I'm going to briefly describe the programs that I offer right now, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time one rule. All of the programs that I made are based on 2-hour blocks. And the reason for that is, I was actually trying to encourage people to learn more than the 1 hour that they usually learn. Figured it was a good shot. And since I started with my Chabura on live shiur, and I was going to give the shiur for a half an hour, I figured if I'm going to give the shiur for half an hour on different topics, if they're in my shiur, they have to invest as per what I say. But you can cut every one of the programs in half. The rule of thumb is simply cut every part of the program in half. Very briefly, I have three core programs, and the trick is to find the proper level. Programs are briefly described in the brochures which are here, but I'll briefly run through them. Rabbi, I can tell you this. There has never been a person who is of average intelligence or better, but even of average intelligence, who followed the program to the T and did not get the results that the program promises. There was never a person. If you are not lazy, if you commit to this, you will master if it's level appropriate. And I started three programs. One was a program in Omid Yomi, that's the major program. One was a program in Mishnayos, which even people who are capable of learning Gemara decided, you know what, let me take three years, or 2.5 years, and I will know Shisha Sidra Mishnah cold inside out. And one was a program for even guys that weren't comfortable enough yet to learn Mishnayos, because the Mishnayos doesn't yet give all the svaros, all the reasons they wanted that, but they had no background and maybe even no aspiration to learn Shas. So we taught it, we teach a shiur in Rambam. That's where it started, teaching Rambam. The same guys who couldn't read and translate, couldn't translate a word of Hebrew 5.5 years ago on the Rambam shiur, can take a test on the entire Sefer Tahara of the Rambam. I went to a group of would-be donors and I handed them the test on all 140, because I give cumulative tests all the time, on all 144 prakim of the Rambam in Sefer Tahara. I put them down, 200 question test. And I asked them, I said, tell me, who is the audience of this test? I want them to understand the program. You try your pitch in many different ways. I said, who's the audience? The guys had been in yeshiva, they looked through and they said, it must be either Rav Moshe Shapiro's Taharas Chabura or the Taharas Chabura in the Mir. I said, let me tell you about these guys. These guys who are in this shir, their ivra is so poor because they're Bali Tshuva of later in life that Rachmanu Litzlon, when they're Chiyuvim, they're embarrassed to daven for the Amid. They only say Kaddish. That's the audience of this shir. There's certain things that if you don't have Girsa de Yankasar are difficult to learn later on. They're the audience of this year. The three programs have one thing in common. The shiur is always 30 minutes out of 2 hours. The shiur is never more than 4 or 5 days a week, but the commitment is 7 days a week. In the Amud Yomi shiur, I give a shiur for 30 minutes. I typically cover about an Amud in those 30 minutes, followed immediately by 1 hour of Chazara on that Amud. Followed at any time during the day by 30 minutes of back review. And when I say back review, that means as much as you can chazer in those 30 minutes. You will be astounded that within a few weeks you'll be able to chazer 4 daf in those 30 minutes. Translation, later on in life, in 1 hour a day, you'll be chazering shas every year. It's really that simple. You just have to learn all shas in the system. 5 days a week, that's the way it happens. The sixth and seventh day, real simple. What happens with your 2 hours? The 90 minutes that would have been shiur, this is the longest now. The 90 minutes that would have been shiur and chazara are chazara on those 5 shiurim of that week. The 30 minutes that's back chazara, unrelated to what you're learning this week, remains back chazara. So every week, let's just do the math. We have shiur Sunday through Thursday. On that day, you heard the shiur, you chazered it 4 times, you learned it 5 times at least. On Friday and Shabbos, let's just make it that shiur was Sunday through Thursday. On Friday and Shabbos, you have 90 minutes each Friday and Shabbos focused just on chazering the 5 amudim of that week. Typically, you can chazer it another 3 times or 4 times on Friday, another 3 times or 4 times on Shabbos. So you've learned every amud of that week at least 12 times. Oh, by the way, now if you want to take the program and learn it in a week from now, in a month from now, whatever, that could work. Because you've learned it 12 times this week. But we don't stop there. Every 8 weeks when we get to 20 daf, we stop for 2 weeks. And what do you think happens during those 2 weeks? 90 minutes a day during those 2 weeks, what do? You chazer those 20 daf. The other 30 minutes of those each of those days of those 2 weeks, unrelated to these 20 daf, you continue with a back chazara. It's a very, very simple formula. Nobody should have to email me, right? Give me a schedule after the first mesechta. I give you the schedule of the first mesechta, the idach zil gemara, you can figure it out. Mishnayos and Rambam is the same thing, except we only have shiur 4 days a week. Because we have shiur Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Same idea, shiur for 30 minutes, review on the today shiur for an hour. That may seem tedious to you, but after the hour, you will know it. 4 days a week. I did a little thing with Mishnayos and Rambam. See, it's easy to fool yourself sometimes with Mishnayos and Rambam that you know it when you don't. So I decided, besides chazaring inside, I'm going to write review questions on the Mishnayos and Rambam. A few months ago, I completed the review questions on the 1,000 Prakim of the Yad. I have, a year ago, completed my first version of the Mishnayos questions. I'm adding them, because the process of writing the Rambam questions helped me chop what I really wanted in the Mishnayos questions. Anybody want to give a rough guess how many questions there are on chazaring 1,000 Prakim of Rambam? Anybody? There are 151,018 review questions on the Rambam. Rabbi Isai, I am a meshuga ledavar, but I am not meshuga. If it didn't work, if there weren't people who weren't doing it and mastering the ideas of the Rambam in Lashon HaKodesh, the Shilas, these are people who could not translate Hebrew. But since the idea is that you chazer inside, I give the shir in English. But when it's over, you better be chazering inside until you can read it fluidly in the Lashon HaKodesh. And if you can, you should have no problem dealing with the questions and the test. So we give them an extra day off shir to do the review questions. Because on the Shisha Sidur Mishnah, there are only 525 prakim. There are currently 53,000 review questions in the Shisha Sidur Mishnah. I'm redoing Seder Kachim. I've redone the other five Svarim. But you have what to start with. It's about 2.5 to 3 years to finish Shisha Sidur Mishnah. I've actually, in Pshat, I have Iyun Shiurim and Mishnayos. Ignore them. That's just so that you could realize what I filtered from. I gave those shiurim 6 and 7 years ago. What I filtered from, that was the whole Ayin Beis Perushim. Everything that I could say in an hour, Babli, Rishami, whatever I can say. So in case you think, psh, the guy's saying a Mishnayos shiur like I would teach fifth graders, that's exactly the point. It's very hard to figure where the balance is between Mishnah and Gemara. When Chazal say Ben Esser LeMishnah Ben Chamesh Esrei LeGemara, what did Chazal mean when they said in the Mishnah Ben Chamesh Esrei LeGemara? Fascinating thing. The same Mishnah is taught to a 10-year-old and taught to a 15-year-old. Guess what happens? Forget the Rebbe who's 35 years old. When the Rebbe looks at the 10-year-old and teaches him that there are three shitos of the Sozman Krishma of Krishma Shalaila. Rabbi Eliezer says to Ashmur Rishona, Chachomim says to Chatzos, Rabbi Eliezer says to Ayala Roshacha. You know what the 10-year-old does? He looks at you and he says, okay. Now the Rebbe has prepared the whole drasha about Peshach B'chazman Shchivu and he has a whole shtick of Torah ready to go. The kid is not interested. Oh, sure, you could now go on and teach it, and you could give him review questions, and you can make him take it home and tell it over to his parents and tell it to the principal, but the kid does not have a fundamental interest in it. That's Ben Esser LeMishnah. A 15-year-old, like you, the teacher, says, hey, what are these guys? They just woke up in the morning, decide to fight about things? They have the natural curiosity of all the questions the Gemara will ask. And yet Chazal say, Ben Esser LeMishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei LeGemara. Because I assure you this, if you never learned Mishnah Dik, you have no hope of ever knowing it, Gemara Dik. Sure you can for that day, enjoy the process. But if you cannot discipline yourself to get the facts of the Torah straight, you'll never know them. There never was a person who learned all the Gemara in the world and got the facts of the Chumash straight. I always marvel that if I gave a Chumash test to adults, on the part of Chumash that there is no Rashi on. Let's think about that for a second, very briefly. The part of Chumash that there's almost very little Rashi on. That means the test would be about the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, the 10 generations from Noach to Avram, the Shivim Umos that came from Noach. It would be about all the 70 descendants of the 70 grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu. Anybody off the cuff? If you're not a Balkari, how many people can give me 20 besides the Shvatim? And who's the father of Yachzel, Guni, Yetzer, and Shiel? It's just a standard question. Anybody who's not a Balkari? Amazing thing, right? It would be about all the Alufei Esav. And the Rambam writes in the Ikrim that if a person believes that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is more important than the Simna Esav Bilegash Alifas Ben Esav, you know what the Rambam writes. It's the Torah, the Ribbono Shelam wrote it down. Let's move on. The Seder Avoid of all the Karbonos. Very, very little Rashi about it. How about the Karbonos Musaf and Parshas Pinchas of every Yontif? Anybody know the difference between the Karbon Musaf of Shavuos and the Karbon Musaf of Pesach? Anybody know the difference between the carbon, there's 10 animals that came as a carbon with the Shtei Alechem as opposed to the carbon Musaf in Parshas, these are Mamish, these are Tzukim and Furashim in the Chumash. These are Mishnayos. Let's go on. How about the Shvi Midyan? Can we talk about it? I'd be loath to even test people on what the Aseres Adibros are. Who are we laughing at? It started from a process. An amazing thing, I started this all with Bali Tshuva, you know why? I walked in the first day I was teaching in Eshet Torah, and I said to the guys, guess what? This is the Torah the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote it. Every word is important. This is the Mishnah Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote it. The Gemara is Medayik. Every single word in the Mishnah. Don't you think it's important to know every single word? After all, the Gemara is going to shtel on Mamish the Lashon and the difference between the Lashon and the Mishnah, the Barash, the Raisa. They looked at me like I was an idiot. Of course it's all important. Only a person with experience in years of yeshiva can think otherwise. You need experience in order to think otherwise. Rabbi, say, think for yourselves. We do Shnai Mikra. We sit down with the Chumash again, again, and again, and again. Where are we holding? I was embarrassed. I have a Chumash program to learn Chumash. But you have to be willing to be Makabal to learn Chumash without Rashi for a couple of years. To learn Nevi'im Rishonim. I was embarrassed to put it online. In Borough Park, in the Chadarim, we're doing it. I could talk all night. Same thing, we learn Chumash every year, every year, every year, every year. We're in such a rush to teach a five-year-old Chumash. To teach a five-year-old all of the Yesodus and Rashi. I'll just finish with a story that happened with my own child when he was in first grade. The Rebbe taught in first grade that Keturah was Hagar. Rashi says so. Child raised his hand and said, Rebbe, the obvious question that a five-year-old should ask, why is she called Keturah if we already know her as Hagar? The Rebbe was still one step ahead of the child. Rashi deals with that question also, right? Shenoim Maser Keturis. The child looked at the Rebbe shocked and he said, Noim Maser? The Hagar that you've told me about since Parshas Lech Lecha, right? Says, V'ataneo Sarai V'tivrach Miponeo Shuvi Yogavitech. When exactly did Hagar do tshuva? Now, if the Rebbe would choose before the Bris Ben Abisarim when Avraham Avinu had the Nevuah Ve'ata Tovei Al Abasecha B'Sholayim that this was the Nevuah that Yishmael was going to do tshuva and then it would play out when it says Vayikbaru Oysa Yitzchak V'Yishmael Banav and he at least prepared the child for that Rashi, which I wouldn't do, Nicha. But you just turned this five-year-old's world of black and white, you just turned it upside down. Everything that he took it for granted. So I told this to Manal one time and Manal said, she had to be a tzaddikus, really. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to her. The Malach spoke to her. I said, really? Bilam was a tzaddik too? And how about Bilam's donkey? There's so many layers of Ashkafa. You want to get into what Bilam was and what Bilam's donkey was and everything. The five-year-old child is not exactly holding about what Nevuah is. You know what the byproduct of never learning Chumash properly, pshat, it comes out? Watch, I'll get you all. What is the easiest pasuk in the Torah to translate? What? You all fell into their trap. Thank you very much. In my estimation, that's the hardest pasuk in the Torah to translate. I would really appreciate if somebody could help me with the following questions. Number one, we know that there are different Lashonis for Dibur in the Torah. Dibur, Amira, Haggadah. We all know that Vayidaber always means Lashon Kasha. Rashi tells us based on Parshas Miketz, Dibur Oish Adonai Haaretz Itonu Kashois. Right? Vayidaber is Lashon Kasha. Well, if Vayidaber is Lashon Kasha, which Shem of Hashem would I expect to follow always? Elikim. Yet 95 times in the Torah, exactly, it says Vayidaber Hashem. So explain to me. In Parshas Va'era, it says, Vayidaber Elokim O Moshe Vayomer Alevani Hashem. Rashi says, Diber Itay Koshos, what he asked, Lama Ariyosa. Why is HaKadosh Baruch with 95 times in the Torah being Nedaber Kosha? In Parshas Va'era, I understand why he was upset at Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he upset at Moshe Rabbeinu every time he's speaking, if that's what Vayidaber means? And if it says Vayidaber, which shame should follow? Elokim, why does it say Hashem? One second, we're just getting started. El Moshe. Now, there's a simple answer to this question, but can you explain to me how that works? How does Nevuah work? Seriously, I'd like to know. Is anybody in the room can explain to me how exactly does the Ribbono Shel Olam communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu? How does the experience work? Yes, there is an answer, but it's a very deep concept in the Rishonim, and a machloek is Rishonim exactly how it works. So when we're finished dealing with that question, which many of us never asked in school, explain to me the word Lamar. The word Lamar always means, Lamar doesn't mean to tell the Jewish people. Because the pasuk always says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael. So the word Lamar, A, is extra. And B, Chazal tell us that whenever it says the word Lamar, what it means is it was said over in chorus exactly like it said, Oz Yoshe Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Zashira Azlois Lamar, Kikari Nesahalo, and so on, Rabbi Nechemiah, the Mishnah Mesech HaSoita. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're mechuyev to believe, is one of the Ikri Amuna, that he communicated in a way with the Ribbono Shel Olam that nobody else ever did or ever will. It's one of the Ikri Amuna. How in the world can Moshe Rabbeinu communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam that way and give it over to us, Basar Adam, who were Nevi'im, in exactly the same manner? See, but you can never make a five-year-old sensitive to that pasuk in Chumash. But if the five-year-old actually knew Chumash, and then when he was learning it at 7 years old, having already covered the information of Chumash, you could then have the ability to let him work with the information that he has, and he could be mesaber him as a ozen, deeper and deeper and deeper. Our mastery of Chumash, and thus our ability to learn it deeper and deeper, would be totally different. It is commonplace in this shir, even though I don't teach the Rashis inside, that every single kasha in Tosfos, every single one, that is either a kasha in Svara on the Sugya, or else a stira to any one of the 500 daf that we learned so far in this year, will be asked by the Balabatim. And I'll just share one anecdote that happened a couple of weeks ago in shir. Tosfos in Daf Chav Zayin on Shabbos asks the kasha from a Gemara later on in Daf Samach Gimel, and he asks it as Tema. The Gemara darshan the pasuk on Daf Samach Gimel in a different way than it darshan on Daf Chav Zayin. Of course, on Daf Chav Zayin, I didn't say a word to my Talmidim. As soon as we're reading Daf Chav Zayin, Daf Samach Gimel, impressive, 36 daf later, right? I see the Gemara, and I see the guy in the back of the room, his eyes go wide. I look at him and I say, Tosfos on Chav Zayin, look, ask your question. Nobody else in the room had any idea what just happened. He turns back to the Gemara, he looks at me with shock, like, how in the world do I know what he was going to ask? So I told him afterwards, if you want to know what Tema means in Tosfos, it was your eyes. When you're learning Daf Chav Zayin, there's no way in the world that I can make you Tema about something you've never heard of and are going to learn in 36 daf from now. Don't be in such a rush. Get the facts. Tosfos starts, 70% of Tosfos start with the words V'yim Toimer. Always one of two types of questions. Always V'yim Toimer. Either there's a problem in the logic of the sugya here that itself destructs, and when Tosfos says V'yim Toimer, you have to clap yourself on the head and you should say, yeah, I should have asked the question. Or else Tosfos asks from another primary source. Let's back up 900 years. You're learning the sugya of Chardol and Bava Basra. You've never learned Mishnayos Kelayim. You meet Tosfos in the street in the morning and you say, Tosfos, I'm very excited. He says, what are you excited about? He says, listen. You say, listen, I've never learned Maseches Kelayim, but I noticed that you quoted a lot of Mishnayos and Kelayim in the Tosfos. I'm very excited because now I'm going to learn a lot of Kelayim inside your Tosfos. I don't want to know. I don't want to talk about Derech HaLimud here. What would Tosfos say to you? What would Tosfos say to you? Is there anybody in this room that Tosfos would have that thinks that Tosfos would have said, that's good? Nobody in this room thinks that Tosfos said is good. Now, somebody may try to convince you that that's the way to do it, but Tosfos himself would have told you it's not the way to do it, and we all know that. Think for yourselves. Be mekabel upon yourself, even that at least for a portion of your limud, you're going to master mikano lahaba. Even learn a mesechta first, bekiyas, know the mesechta, and then learn the same mesechta again, and it's a totally transforming limud. My grandfather, Zechron Levracha, just to debunk one myth, told me that when he learned by Rabbi Baruch Ber for 12 years in Kamenitz. Rabbi Baruch Ber didn't, it was, certainly there was nobody slower than Rabbi Baruch Ber in terms of plodding through sugyas. Rabbi Baruch Ber told my grandfather and his chaverim on Rosh Chodesh Elul that he refuses to say shir on the first daf of Yevamos until the Bachrim finish the first five prakim. After all, the first five prakim in Yevamos all relate to Zika. He says that it would be impossible to say a shir on Zika before getting through the first five prakim. After all, there are many instances in Maseches Yevamos of the first five prakim that the Manda Amar holds Ein Zika is more Zika than the Manda Amar holds Yesh Zika. You can't just throw up svaras. 60 daf. He was upset that after Sukkot they hadn't finished the 60 daf Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and he had to wait a couple of weeks before he started saying shir. There never was in Klal Yisrael until recently an endorsing of not knowing what you learn. It didn't exist. It's a recent invention. I will absolutely conclude with the following story, and I'm just saying it as it is. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's son walked into a Beis Avel that I was at in Yerushalayim, and the people who were sitting shiva, the family that was sitting shiva, were very, very close with me, and I had never met him before, this particular son, because he had left Muncie long before I was born. And they said, we want you to meet, you know, a person, a Talmud, who grew up, you know, on the Birkayim of your father, Ba'achris Yomim. So he said, at that time, he said, I'm going to tell you a story. When Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was starting the cheder that I went to, and I mentioned before, we learned a lot of Chumash and so on, he came to Eretz Yisrael in 1976, I believe it was, for the Knesiyah Gedolah. And there were a number of Rabbonim that instigated at that Knesiyah Gedolah that it's Where's the Messiah to do it, and so on and so forth. Again, I'm quoting Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's son as he quoted his father at that opportunity. Rabbi Yaakov said at that opportunity, Messiah we get from Chazal. There is no mocker in Chazal that you don't have to know Kol HaTorah Kula. There's no mocker in Chazal that you don't have to aspire to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And there's no mocker in Chazal that argues with the way Chazal tell you you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. If you want to know why things in recently are a little bit different than that, ask the people that are responsible for that. But they don't make Messiah. Have a wonderful evening, and I thank you for listening.
Just like to thank Pogro for his words. Also, afterwards, after Rabbi Falchi has addressed us for a short while, we'd like to afterwards draw your attention to there'll be a number of sheets on the side. If anybody wants to write there, you'll see it'll be obvious. You'll write your name and number, email address, or whatever it might be. If you're interested in the Chavrusa or Chabura, the idea is either, if anybody's interested, of course, in the Master Torah website itself is accessible, but if we can make Shidduchim here, like we said before, there are existing chaburas at different times of the day where we try and implement the same mahalach that Rav Pogro himself was speaking about. So that's a very important point. If people want to take a piece of paper from afterwards and write their name and information there, I'm happy to be the grand shadchan, as I said. So as a dessert, we'd like to ask Rav Shlomo Falchi to say a couple of words.
I'd like to apologize for coming late. I think I was supposed to speak before, and you know, normal, you have something which is a starter. You have it before the Suda, which is the Iker, the Fleishigs that we just had from Rav Pogro, and to have it in reverse is a bit modna. It's a little bit strange. You still have to make a separate bracha on the Shia now, but I think whatever way it helps, it will help. I apologize. I had a schus to be just now in Blackpool, which is not generally known as a schus, but I was there with 150 Balei Tshuva who were just starting on their journey. And if only, this could be the tahalich that they could start over there and end up over here on a program like this, Chevra, who I've seen it with my own eyes in Eretz Yisrael and Eshat Torah, people who I know who had no shaykh, mamish, no shaykhs to learning, and can now tell you exactly what daf everything that they've ever learned is on, exactly the manda omrim, who is on, etc., etc. The Pnei Yeshua in Baba Kama actually discusses a sugi which spends at about nearly two blot figuring out the manda omer of which one says which way, and the Pnei Yeshua actually says specifically about this in the Kuda that the Gemara goes crazy because to teach you how medactic we are in Torah in understanding exactly what it is. Now on a practical level it's so important because if you have to figure out a stira, a mashal, if Rav said something in one place and Rav said something in another place, so he's relying on the fact that you know that he said something somewhere else to be able to figure out that must not be what Rav means. Like the Gemara, we've all seen the Gemara does that. It can't be that this is what he means because he said this somewhere else. Shtel Zechfar, if someone's not learning or doesn't figure out or doesn't remember who said what where, so how could you ever learn? How could you ever learn? These things are, I mean, again, it's you know, when Chazal tell us that the Rebbeinu Shlom spoke in a way which is dvarim, which is kashim kegidin. I have to say I felt it myself, and I'm sure every single person felt it in this room during this speech, where half of the time you had a smile on your face and half of the time you felt like you were dying inside. Who are we laughing at? At that moment I think I understood what it means when the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to say Ani Hashem, and there'll be this tremendous busha which washes over us. My Rebbe in Yeshiva, he was telling us about the importance of learning. And he quoted the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Hei. And the Gemara says over there that Hillel, is Mechayev the Aniyim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim is Mechayev the Ashirim, and Yosef is Mechayev the people who are Torah B'Yitzrim, who have a terrible Yetzirah. They're going to ask you if you think you're poor, are you poorer than Hillel? They're going to ask you if you were rich, are you richer than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim? The Gemara goes to great pains to establish all of the holdings of Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim. And they're going to ask you about Hillel the same thing. Was your Yetzirah stronger? They're going to ask you about Yosef, was your Yetzirah stronger than Yosef? And Rav Tori Trop said on this Gemara, it's a strange Gemara. I understand Hotenach, if you get to Shemayim, and you're going to say, they're going to ask you if you sat and learned. And you're going to say, what do you want? I didn't have money. I needed to feed my family. That's a good answer, yeah? The Teretz is, Hillel, Hillel's Mechayev. The same question, a person is an Osher, his businesses are going to fall apart. What's he supposed to do? It's a good teretz. I was busy with my business. And they're going to say, well, you've been as busy with Elazar ben Charsim. But then they come to him and they say, did you learn Torah? And he's going to say, no, Torah B'Yitzri. What a stupid teretz. We're asking you, how can you involve the Torah? The answer is, don't blame me. I was busy doing Averis. What kind of teretz is that? And the Granat was famous for answering that in that moment when Klal Yisrael, when in Yeshiva Shalmala is going to ask us the question about why we didn't spend the time that we needed to spend learning, even the teretz of Torah B'Yitzri is going to be Epes Vosa Teretz. We're going to be so embarrassed by this question of where our learning was, where our hours are, that we'd rather answer we were busy doing Averis. Even that's going to be a teretz. The Gemara tells us, Ashri Misha Bolakan V'Talmudei B'Yodai. It's a very nice song. But every time I hear this song, it has the opposite effect on me. V'Talmudei B'Yodai. What does that mean? That you learned it once? There's this old folded up sheet that you ticked off. It's in your pocket. Oh yeah, so that was that was 11th grade. Yeah, I did that one. The Talmudei B'Yodai. There's a story about one of the Rosh Hashivas in Beis HaTalmud. He used to come every day with his Gemara under his arm, and there was a big, festive black security guard, mamish, an ox of a guy, standing by the door to protect the yeshiva. And every day he sees him coming in with his Gemara. And finally, after many, 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 many years, he turns to the Magid Shir, and he said, Rabbi, if y'all didn't get it by now, you ain't never gonna get it. So the first reaction you have to the story is, oh, he didn't chaf, it was a different mesechta. And if it was the same mesechta? Ashri Misha Bodakan, the Talmudei B'Yodai. There's a famous memra. The Mefarshim will explain on the Bnei HaMishkan. When Moshe Rabbeinu is shown these tavniyos, he's shown these images, and he can't figure them out. He's shown the image of a menorah, and he can't figure it out. So Hashem tells him, fine, take the gold, throw it in the fire. Push the kasha. That's to bother every single person. Why bother showing Moshe this image if you know he's not going to know what it means? Famous kasha. What's the famous teretz? Famous teretz is Eina Chanami. Maybe you don't know how to make it, but you have to have the plan. You have to have the vision. You have to have the dream. You have to have the goal. You know what? I died too early to finish Shas. I mean, I don't know that yet, but I'm hoping, right? I died too early to finish Shas. You know what the Bnei Shalom is going to ask us for? Even if we don't have, he's going to ask us. Okay. So show me the commitment sheet. Show me what would have happened if you would have lived till 120. Show me what would have happened if you weren't poor or rich or warm or cold or whatever other excuse we're going to come to Yeshiva Shalmala with. Where's the plan? Where's the plan? Rabbi Yisai, this is an insurance policy. At least you have a plan. I remember that the first time I learned the Gemara, that tells us about the questions they're going to ask a person when he gets up to Shamayim. And the Gemara tells you about these questions that they're going to ask you about the chashmal. Ubakam upon him umizalech. What do the Maisim of Kava look like? What's the symbolism of all the different faces that were on the... These things which you have no shaykhs to. And I always remember thinking about that busha. Oila oisa busha, oila oisa klima. So I once said it over to one of my rabbeim. My rabbeim said to me, shayde from the manishtana. It was only after many chazaras that I realized that there wasn't a shayde in the manishtana. Which probably was what he meant. But he said, shayde from the manishtana. You think that's the question they're going to get you on? This is what we're talking about. The Pasuk tells us by the Oren that there's a din, that the Badim have to be attached to the Oren. In fact, there's a Machlekes in the Rishonim exactly what the Isser is. Lo yosuru imenu. They're never allowed to be removed from the Oren. And many, many Pshatim describe these Badim as being the Machzikeh, since the Oren represents the Torah. So the Badim are those things which represent the Machzikeh HaTorah. The people who support the Torah so much as so far as to go and explain that the Oren itself has to be made of Zov Torah, because that's the din of a Talmud Chacham, whereas the Badim themselves are allowed to be tzipit, they're allowed to be covered with gold, because they're the Machzikeh Torah. But I was wondering, is this Machzike Torah, is this thing which supports a person's ability to learn, just referring to the simple translation of someone who's giving financial assistance? Is the Din Lo Yosuru Imenu not applicable to those things which allow us to retain, to hold up the learning that we have in and of ourselves? Is there no Din Lo Yosuru Imenu for that? I think the reason why I feel so passionately about this is because and me and all the guys in my shiur, it's a pella. I almost feel bad that Rav Pagro came here tonight. Because if anyone walks out the door now without taking it up, now you're in trouble. Before, there was lots of lovely shiurim on the Torah way. You know, you could listen to a shiur here, a shiur there. Go down to your local Beis HaMedrash, pick up a something. Now we have no excuse. There's no mood of shiur shoyig yivayu mezidim on something which is a poshet misvara. There's a beautiful ma'aseh with Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Zalman was standing in yeshiva and a court case came to him between an owner of a house and his shifcha and the servant or the cleaning lady, whatever it was. And he was donning the case back and forth and back and forth, and the girl saw this cleaning lady. She noticed that the court case was about to go against her. So she thinks, she's thinking how to win, and she's concentrating, actually comes up with a new svara, a new idea. And Mrs. Zalman is blown away, because the svara that this cleaning lady said was a mefurish and nesivis. She was mechavin to a nesivis. Now I understand if after months in the shia, they're mechavin to toisas kasha. But that the cleaning lady should come up with the nezivis is a mod nezach. And he said he learned to push the thing from this. Why'd she come up with the nezivis? Because she was losing the court case. Any person who's losing the court case can come to a nezivis. The only nafkamina is if a person chaps how badly they need it. If you chap how badly you need it, you'll get it. I tell you, one thing I could not understand was all the chazaras. I didn't quite understand it. And the 90 and the 30 and the this and the that and the gav, milabar, I wasn't exactly sure, but I'm sure that I myself am going to go mivar afterwards. But every single person, this is a davar shavu l'chol nefesh. It's a program which is working with 8-year-olds, and it's working with people who've been sitting and learning for 15 and 20 years. I want to end with one thing. There's a famous Mishnah in Avos, Aseh Lecha Rav, Kneh Lecha Chaver, and there's so many different pshatim in what Aseh Lecha Rav means. One of my favorite actually is the Rambam. Check it out on your own time. But there's a beautiful shlo. Aseh Lecha Rav, make for yourself a Rebbe. Ukneh Lecha Chaver, and acquire for yourself a friend. So the moral of the pshat is you have to go out and buy a friend, whatever that means. But the shlo is an interesting pshat. Rashi's pshat on Kneh Lecha Chaver, ironically, his first pshat is that a person should go buy svarim, from like a Loshon Chibur. His second pshat is a friend. I always love that. But more than that, the shlo goes on to say something else. Kneh Lecha Chaver, he learns from a Loshon Koneh. A person's pen is his friend. Every single person has to come up with a tachbula, with a trick or a plan or a mahalach. Your pen is your friend. You're going to learn something, you're going to forget it. And the worst part about this shlo is the maisa that Rav Pargo shared with us earlier. You come across your notes, you open up your Gemara, and you show your kids with such pride how the margins are full with your notes. And you have no idea what anything is talking about. So I want to propose either of two things. Here's the first option. Go out, spend 10 years researching what the best possible mahalach is to remember your learning. Arrange for someone to say shiurim on every part of Torah that you could possibly need someone to say shiur on. Pay them and then record them. Figure out a better mahalach, or pick one that's proven and works. Which would you rather do? Because either one or the other is munach lefonecha. And once you heard it, once you see that it's possible, it cannot be that a person walks away from an evening like this and says, oh, that was interesting. That was, oh, gewaldig. I met over the weekend someone that said to me an amazing thing. One of the boys that came on a trip that we ran a few years ago. And he told me that the reason why he became frum was because you told me, and then he repeated back to me something that I'd said to him. I didn't even remember that I said it. And he repeated it word for word. The metzias of Torah is that since every single word is literally given to us from the Rabbeinu Shlomo, it's literally Chochmas Yisbarach, it's literally the only way for us to connect to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. If words from a bus of a dumb could change someone's life forever, could you imagine if we had the ability to quote, to remember the words of Divrei Elohim Chaim? I cannot encourage you enough to do this. And I cannot encourage you enough to take a look around this room and try and remember every single other person that you know that wasn't in this room and give them a phone call today or tomorrow. Godola ma'asa yoisa min oisa. And could you imagine if you were part of this renaissance of Torah in London, something which is spreading all over the world, but could you imagine if you had a chelek, not just in doing it for yourself in a selfish way, ki'ilu, could you imagine the tetzos of that? I hope that we can take this to heart and transform our learning for something which is we do for recreation or enjoyment into something which we do which will stay with us forever and ever, in an ability to engrave them mamish on our hearts so we can carry the words of the Torah with us at all time. Shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim meficha.
Just to conclude, Just to conclude, afterwards, Rav Pogra will be here available for questions, those that want to grill him 4 or 5, however many times you want. Just a brief point, just to make clear, the Mahalach itself you can speak to Rav Pogra about, but there's two simple points to the Mahalach, in case it wasn't clear, just in simpleton layman's terms. The first stage is the idea that you have to chazar what you've learnt, it's not called chazara, what you're learning right then and there 4 or 5 times inside. When you do that, it gives you the ability to properly understand it. You go through it once, let's say it takes you, even if you do it with your chavrusa, the first time it takes you an hour and a half to learn omud. What we think happens when you go over the next time is it's going to take me another an hour and a half to do the omud. It's a complete mistake. You do it again, it takes you half an hour. The third time will take you 20 minutes, the fourth time 15 minutes, by the fifth time you can do it in 5 minutes. 5 minutes you'll be able to say over the whole thing from beginning to end, because it's called exponential growth. You've able to build, you've built on the previous time. It's not just learning it once and then next week another time. Every time it gets clearer and clearer, knocks it in further and further till you can walk away besimcha, that you actually know what's going on. With our chaburas that we have, number of chaburas that we have in the morning and the evening, we try, and at the end we try and pick on somebody who actually will be able to say over, what did we learn today? What did we learn from the Gemara? What did we learn? Say it balpeh. It's a very simple thing, and embarrassing to say that we actually do that, but if you can't do that, then what have you learned? And therefore, that's the stage number one, to knock it in at least 4 times, to be able to really understand what's going on. If you hear a shir from Rav Pogra, it's even better, because they he's actually giving you the structure beforehand. But the idea of going over it 4 times, making sure that it's properly ingrained in you, it's Talmud Abiyadah of a different caliber. And then, of course, the second half, which is the idea of chazara of a period of time, which is at the end of the week, to chazar what you learned that week, the end of, let's say, a parak, end of 30 daf, to take time, just a small amount of time, to do chazara of that as well. And this idea of constant chazaras, where you're constantly catching up with yourself. You're doing, let's say, 5 daf, ideally, eventually, 5 daf every day, catching up with yourself. Meaning the idea there is simply, not that chazara, if chazara, as was said before, if chazara is relearning it again, that's not called chazara. The definition of chazara is to learn something that you know already. And therefore, in a short amount of time, just by constantly doing chazara every day of large amounts, you'll see an unbelievable thing. You'll be able to do entire masechtas in a short amount of time just by having retained it. You've knocked it in so well the first time, and then you kept it on the boil. Those are the yesodis. Knocking it in well the first time, keeping it on the boil. But again, I'm only a Talmud of this Mahalach. You can speak to the Rebbe himself, who will be here afterwards for questions anyone wants. And also, the last thing that was important that we mentioned again, people, if you can please write your names. If you're interested in a chabura, we have chaburas. I myself give a chabura in the morning at 6:15 in the morning till 7:45. Those people that are available at that time, I'm sure you're busy doing other things. There also are evening chaburas. A number of people have told me that there will be other chaburas of people who are interested, Magidei Shurim here, who are interested in starting chaburas where they will take this Mahalach on in order to try and achieve this success in learning. And we have a number of people that have come forward, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Rabbi Mendy Chizik, and others who have suggested an interest in being able to give shiurim either in Gemara or in Mishnayos. We have this opportunity here. It's not just about selling any particular point, it's about introducing it at different levels. We have also Rabbi Zacharia Resnick, who's happy to take on for those people lesser experience. Also, we have that ability. So, in other words, we have the opportunity of different levels, and even if you can't join a chabura, but to try and do it amongst yourselves with your chavrusas, ain't a doma what it'll do for your learning. Boduk u'menusa, all you have to do is just go and see and try it out. If you try it out for one whole masechta, don't make it such a long masechta if you don't want to do bod basra, fine. Start with a shorter masechta. Try it out for one masechta, you'll see. It'll change your life. If you can please write down names, if you're interested, the papers are on the side there. Thank you very much for coming along, and shkoyach everybody. Yeah. My shroom definitely, I like that. People are interested, so. This was a PS, and sorry, I just forgot to mention something. Number one is actually, if everybody wants a recording of talks, the show tonight, then please see me after, if you want to interest. Number two, if anybody is happy to give some support to Togo, whatever it might be, that's the second thing. And also to give a big thank you to the cloud organization, which made this whole thing possible as well, and those people who are behind cloud. And the idea of cloud was in order to facilitate the encouragement of people learning, and therefore anyone who was interested in more of those opportunities as well to see me. And if anybody's interested in Maariv, then there will be a Maariv in the corner over there. Mizrach is that way. Yes, I am. Thank you.